The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a Wednesday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown on the desk for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass. Got a good show for you. Drew Densick going to join us a little bit later. Go through some NBA with him, some final NFL thoughts. Who knows? Maybe he's even got some golf plays. We'll see what's going on with Drew. Also, Will Hill join us a little bit later. Talk some NFL and NBA with him. Kelly, as we were on air yesterday, we started to get some NFL news coming in fast and furious, actually. A head coaching job, an offensive coordinator job also got filled shortly after us leaving the studio. We filled the last head coaching vacancy in the NFL as well. First things first, the Colts going with Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen. Now, this was widely rumored to be going down on Tuesday morning as it was. Yep. Anyway, Monday was when it actually was kind of reported that that was going to happen. And that is, in fact, what happened here as we were on air. So Shane Steichen officially announced as the Colts head coach. Now, you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, but just to recap for those that weren't here with us, we were looking at a Colts team that were saying, hey, look, it's a very big number next to this Colts team's name, yet it's a division that we assume the Jags are going to be the favorite. We assume the Jags are going to be the team to beat in that division. But again, we assume the Colts were going to be the team to beat in that division last year, and that ended up not being the case. And so we do have a team that still has some playmakers, still has some guys on defense. And, you know, look, they're just lacking a quarterback.
Well, and you know, one of the biggest things we always talked about with that team was the offensive line heading into last season, mm-hmm. right? We thought it was going to be good. And, you're going to have a lot of the same pieces there, just hoping to kind of get back to what they were, you know, a couple of years ago. But, yeah, it's interesting. They also they did have an introductory press conference for him yesterday. We'll go to the soundbite here. This was Jim Irsay and then Chris Ballard kind of talking about not only Steichen, but their quarterback situation for next year.
We're not hiding. You know, no one can shy away from the fact what quarterback means in this league and how we have to look going forward, where Shane and Chris really, you know, dig into this draft and really see where you're at. Do you stay put? Do you trade up? You know, there's many things you can do. They took Jalen in the second round. So,
trade back.
So, he likes
that'll
picks.
That'll be a Twitter freaking clone.
He likes picks. Although the Alabama guy doesn't look bad, I tell you.
You gotta love when you see the GM and the owner basically disagreeing in an introductory press conference.
It was absolutely amazing. Now, that being said, the Colts still sit at 80-1 to win the AFC. They are only ahead of the Texans, who sit at 100-1 to win the AFC. And then if you go down from a Super Bowl perspective, 150-1 over at DraftKings, only ahead of the Texans and the Cardinals. And again, listen, Kelly, I don't think that there is any chance whatsoever for this team to win the AFC or to win the Super Bowl. However, I think if you did sim this 150 times, maybe they would. You know, maybe they run super pure with whatever quarterback they end up drafting. Do have some offensive playmakers, do have some defense. So, again, it's you know, if you're a Colts fan and you told me you wanted to put one of those lottery tickets in your account, I wouldn't talk you off of it just because, you know, hey, look. Get in the tournament, weird things can happen.
I also think, I think if I was betting, if I was looking to make a bet on the Colts, it's, wait for division odds to come out, right? Because I think the Jags will be favored. I think the question is how big of a favorite,
right? And probably fairly big favorites.
And because, then it's going to be Titans, too, so you might be able to get a long number on the Colts to win this division.
Yeah, this could be a very interesting division for us to bet, certainly from a win total perspective, because I imagine with the way that the Colts finished the season, we're not going to get a very big number on them. And with that, hey, look, maybe there will be something to bet there on the win total. Speaking of the Arizona Cardinals, which are the longest of shots tied with the Texans to win the Super Bowl, 200-1 on the Cardinals. The last domino did fall in this head coaching tree right now. It is going to be the Eagles defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, that is going to take over for the Arizona Cardinals. Again, they are the longest shot in all of the NFL. We do know Kyler Murray is going to be coming back from injury. We know that there might be some guys on the move with this team as well. Now, they do play in the NFC, and as we've said, there's at least a little bit of a clearer path in the NFC than there is in the AFC to maybe having some sort of success. Oh, but yeah. I do not think that this Cardinals team, as presently constructed, is probably going to be that team. And Kelly, you know, there's all kinds of rumors as to who will and won't be there. Is this going to be a full teardown rebuild type situation? Are they going to start trading guys off left and right and try to get a whole bunch of assets to try and build from the ground up? I think probably that would be the right way to go when you kind of look at how this team is constructed right now. I mean, if you can get anything for some of these parts, probably the best way to go about it. But if you're Jonathan Gannon, I don't know if you're jumping up and down about that. But like,
are you,
you know,
including Kyler Murray when you're talking about this?
I don't think you can get rid of Kyler Murray. I don't think you'd get
anything
stuck
for him.
Yeah. I mean, they're stuck with him for sure. But I think, you know, some of these other pieces are probably going to be available. We know the DeAndre Hopkins stuff is pretty, I'm not going to say a foregone conclusion, but it does seem like they're going to try to get whatever they can get for him, get rid of that big contract, get back some sort of assets for a guy that I'm not going to, you know, look, Kelly dealt with the suspension stuff. He's had some injuries here and there over the last couple of years, but I think he's at least plateauing maybe on the downside of his career. I don't think we're, you know, I don't think we're seeing any more ascension there from DeAndre.
Well, I mean, ascension, I don't know that. I mean, look, if he can plateau at the level he's plateaued at, I think he's still one of the better wide receivers in the league. I think it'd be a huge addition for a bunch of teams out there. I mean, we talked a lot yesterday about teams like the Packers and the Chiefs, and I mean, geez, adding a guy like that, I think he could still be an incredible difference maker, at least for teams. You know, teams that are maybe more have more veterans on there, and your window's a little bit shorter, right? Like you said, you know, you're not going to add him to a team, you know, that's completely rebuilding or with a bunch of younger guys.
100-1 for the Cardinals to win the NFC, which is, again, probably appropriate because I think this is going to be a teardown type situation for this team, and we're probably going to be looking at them for the next couple of years as being a team that is really, really struggling to get any sort of anything in the win column. Also, as we were on air yesterday, Todd Monken was named the offensive coordinator of the Ravens. Now, does this help them trying to retain Lamar Jackson or not? Don't know. I was scouring the internet all last night and whatever. It didn't seem like we were getting any sort of reaction from Lamar Jackson's camp. And listen, at the end of the day, I think what we're really coming down to here is not necessarily what we're – you know, whether he likes the fit. I'm sure he likes the fit. This guy has worked with quarterbacks before and turned kind of average-ish quarterbacks into something special. So you have to think if you're already special that he can do even better things with you. The problem here is it's all going to come down to money. Can he get the long-term contract? And if that's not going to be the case, I've seen a couple of different things that he's likely to get that franchise tag and then get traded. You know, like basically they franchise tag him so he can't negotiate and can't be talking to other teams, can't do all those other things. And then they look for a trade partner from there should they not be able to get some sort of long-term deal done. Of course, Lamar wanting that guaranteed deal that Deshaun Watson got. And Kelly, I got to be honest. I mean, I think Lamar is certainly one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm never going to doubt that. I certainly think that he maybe even has a little bit of room to grow as a passer, and we know how dynamic he is with his legs and running the ball and as a playmaker. But a guaranteed contract, I think, for a quarterback that plays the style that Lamar plays, I can kind of see why the Ravens are digging in here. And you don't want to set a precedent here, and this is why – when this deal went down with Deshaun Watson, you and I and Gil talked about this on the show that we were on previously. We were sitting here saying, listen, you have now set a very slippery slope for almost every other quarterback contract moving forward because everybody is going to want that guaranteed money. Everybody is going to want that massive deal that they know no matter what, that money is coming flowing in. And they gave that money to Deshaun Watson and now all these other quarterbacks, and rightfully so because now the precedent has been set, but they want that as well. But Deshaun Watson doesn't play like Lamar Jackson plays. You know, it's like it's a different type of deal. And I hate to say that, you know, you have to do this on a case-by-case basis. You really do have to do this on a case-by-case basis. When a guy takes off running 12 times a game, that's 12 times that knee could get, you know, exploded or a torn Achilles or whatever, anything, collarbones. We've seen all this stuff when these running quarterbacks go and take off running. And so I get why the Ravens don't want to give him all the money guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah, I get it too. And yeah, you're right. This Deshaun Watson contract, it screws up everything.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I get it too, right? Like, you get it from his side.
Because he thinks he's as good or better than Deshaun. Right, right. Like, so you got to think, all these guys think they're the best in the league. You know, like all these guys have massive egos. So it's like, he thinks he's better than Deshaun Watson. Well, so it's like, if this guy gets all this money guaranteed, I better be getting all this money guaranteed.
I mean, from Lamar, Lamar's standpoint, he has a longer track record in this league of being good in this league too. So I get it, but I think you're right. I think that I think that the intelligent teams will have to start looking at this, but in a case-by-case basis. And Lamar Jackson, this is – I don't want to compare it exactly to the Deebo Samuel situation, but it almost feels like something you're going to have to kind of get over, and unfortunately, you're going to suffer a bit because of it. And look, if they – you know what, though? If the Ravens aren't going to pay you and they do trade you on that franchise tag, someone else will pay him down the line. Whatever money he wants, he'll get paid by someone.
Certainly the futures odds reflect that he will be in town for the Ravens. They are 12-1 to win the AFC. They are only behind the Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, and Chargers. And so you can see that the writing is on the wall there that the Baltimore Ravens think that Lamar, or the odds at least dictate, that he will be back there 20-1. To win the Super Bowl. Now, I think that might be a little interesting. I think there are some teams here that maybe would be, I would say, a little bit bigger of a favorite than the Ravens at 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. But again, these odds have moved just in the last couple of hours here. If you're watching at home on this graphic, it still says 22-1 on the Ravens. I think that Monken getting hired maybe move these odds just a little bit. Every single analyst out there that is much smarter than me about the NFL is raving this higher and saying that this is going to be fantastic for this Ravens team, and certainly fantastic for Lamar Jackson should he decide to stay in Baltimore. Let's talk some NBA when we come back on the other side.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop with any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport and wherever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I can assure you that app works here in Nevada, unlike some other apps that are going on right now in Nevada. So it's a good one to download. It is Matt Brown here on A Numbers Game presented by BetMGM. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass in for Gil. Gil on a well-deserved vacation here, so I'll be on the desk the rest of the week. And didn't get a chance to get to the NBA stuff last night, Kelly, and certainly want to do that. Anybody that was in bed and didn't get to catch the ending of the Celtics and Bucks game, this game does go to overtime, despite the fact that the Celtics were very short-handed in this game. The Bucks do pull it out 131-125 in overtime on two big games, one from Jrue Holiday, one from Giannis again. And I know you said you were having some live betting action going on in this one. I can only imagine the swings that must have been in the live betting numbers.
Oh, yeah. It was I hope everybody enjoyed a beautiful Valentine's Day evening last night with their significant other. I was there on the couch live betting.
You
the
were
Bucks.
With yours? Your significant you and Giannis.
Me and
just
Giannis,
you, and, you and my boy Giannis. Yeah, you were good.
Yeah, I was sitting there. Man, I got to tell you this one real quick, man, because this is you and I have talked about this before, too, where some sports bettors just – they can't get over these bad beats, right? Mm. And they'll bring them up and they'll talk about them forever, and they don't recognize ever when they get lucky as hell, right? Mm. And sometimes that's just what happens in this. So I'll take you back to the Super Bowl real quick. One of the prop bets that I had was under 4.5 Chiefs players with a rushing attempt on the Chiefs side. Okay, I don't know if you remember the Josh Sweat unimpeded to the quarterback when Mahomes was getting ready to dump it off to Kadarius Toney, which would have been a fifth ball carrier, blown dead, and my under ends up cashing. That wouldn't have got home. Last night, I was in on the Bucks money line live several times, so I need a random Sam Hauser three to take to overtime, and I was in on, and I laid 4.5 live, okay? So we go to overtime. First, I'm upset he hit the three. I was happy just to split some bets
right.
if that had gotten home, right? So he hits the three. It goes to overtime, and then the only other ticket I've got is I've got a few Bucks money line, and then Bucks minus 4.5. There is the Bucks end up 4 with 3.8 seconds left on the clock and inbounding because they had called a clear path to the basket foul. Yeah, they just do the inbounds play to Giannis. Giannis with the cover for Kelly dunk for no reason. He easily could have just pulled it back and let the clock run out. So they win by 6. I get home. It's just these moments, man, you got to recognize when you get lucky as hell. And that should have been a losing bet. It turns into a winner, though. I'll be happy about it for today. And look forward to getting the snot beaten out of me by some bad beat later on.
Giannis plays 46 minutes in the game last night. Goes 12 of 26 from the floor. Makes 11 of 19 free throws. So, hey, look, you'll take it when it comes to Giannis. 36, 13 boards. And 9 assists to go along with a couple of blocks. He did have 8 turnovers, but again, he played 46 minutes in the game. Drew Holiday actually was the hero of this game. 13 of 21 from the floor, 8 of 12 from downtown, made all 6 of his free throws, added 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals in this one. And Drew Holiday's going to be an all-star, Kelly. And you look, this guy has been a very good player so far this season for a team that has really actually needed him to be a very good player for them so far, because guys have been in and out of the lineup. And I think that, you know, Drew Holiday, 43 minutes last night and heading to an all-star game, has certainly deserved it and does make this team far more interesting, because now he is playing on that level that we remember from Drew Holiday like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like he was – we thought about Drew Holiday 5 years ago, like, oh yeah, one of the top guys in the league for sure. And then he kind of just fell out of our, you know, basically out of our consciousness. And then here he is having a resurgent season.
Yeah, he's been massive for this team. This whole season, especially here lately, though, he really saved them last night. I mean, Giannis was he was brutal at the free throw line, kind of picked up, you know, did sink a few late to kind of go over that 50%, but the Celtics were hacking away last night. They were happy to put him on
Absolutely.
The line, make him take mid-range jumpers, make him take wide-open threes. And we saw that bad side of Giannis that, you know, we bring up every once in a while when he can't get to the basket at will. You know, things, yeah, I love talking like Giannis had a bad game. He had 36 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 assists.
But I know what you're saying. Yeah. If you were watching it live, you could see that there were some struggles that were going on. And, you know, he's just so ridiculous that he's going to put up these stat lines no matter what. I think if you're the Celtics too, you come out of this game feeling pretty good. I mean, you had none of your dudes.
Yes.
You had none of your dudes out there, and you just took the, you know, arguably your biggest rival, biggest contender for the title. I mean, it's just, I think your Celtics team, you're coming out of this going, hey guys, look, I know there's no moral victories really, but if there ever was one, this is kind of a moral victory.
Well, and I'll tell you the biggest takeaway from that side of it for me, it was great to see Sam Hauser obviously doing what he was doing back in his home state of Wisconsin. But Mike Muscala is a guy that, you know, they traded for before the trade deadline, and you're trying to figure out how they're going to work him into the rotation. And he showed up big last night. I mean, 18 points, 8 rebounds for that team. I think he's kind of putting his print on his place in the rotation for them going forward.
And we take a look here, some other stuff that came out of the NBA last night. And this is more of just a, man, you can't even imagine that it's true, but it is true. If you were looking through the box score and you saw the Warriors and the Clippers, and you see 134-124 victory in favor of the Clippers, and you look over and you see that the Kawhi Leonard is actually in the box score, and you go, wait a minute. Didn't he play the night before? The answer to that is yes, he did, in fact, play the night before. And Kawhi Leonard finishes with 33 points and 7 rebounds. And it is his first back-to-back since 2019, Kelly. And listen, he's been battling all kinds of injuries. We get it. Expensive guy. They're trying to manage his workload and all of that. But it's just, it's crazy to see the stat on paper, first
it
back-to-back
is.
In 3 years.
I mean, it is. And obviously, this is I mean, it's Kawhi, and we know how he handles things with load management. But, like, his last back-to-back, Matt, was before COVID. Like, what are we talking about?
I know. It's just absolutely wild.
How much has the world changed since Kawhi Leonard last played a back-to-back? It's incredible.
So we look at the futures odds here, and let's start in the Western Conference, talking about this Warriors team here that loses to the Clippers on the road. And honestly, Kelly, it has just become – it's the most laughable stat you see. I mean, this Warriors team wins at home and just loses at a ridiculous, ridiculous pace on the road. They are now 7-22 on the road for the season. And you just wonder if that – I don't know how you view that team at all, if you think that the Warriors could possibly put things together and stuff. But I look at these teams that they're going to have to jump. And you look at the Suns and the Nuggets and the Clippers and the Grizzlies and even the Mavericks now, that the way that they're constructed, I do not see a path for this Warriors team. And I know you and I got proven wrong last year because we were kind of saying the same thing. But I think it's a different landscape this year.
Okay, I think it's a different landscape in the fact that there's more – there are more teams that could legitimately win the Western Conference.
And yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just being – my memory's being a little short-sighted. But this feels about as wide open at this point in the season in a conference as I can remember in a long time. Obviously, we haven't seen Kevin Durant on the floor with the Suns yet. Yes, I think they should be the prohibitive favorite in this market, as they are plus 240 to win the West. But look, man, I can't rule them out yet. I can't rule the Warriors after last year, and you brought it up, after last year, and you basically have all the same pieces back. If Steph comes back and he's healthy, I don't think it's a team you can rule out. I really don't. I can't get there yet. And the other team I'll bring up is, you know, the team that you and I are like the biggest fans of ever, the New Orleans Pelicans. At one point this year, Matt, and for a long stretch of the season, they had a top five offense and top five defense in this league.
I know.
When I see Zion, McCollum, and Ingram all on the court together, that's when we can start taking this team seriously again. I know they're having a rough patch right now. It's not a buy-on point for them yet. Wait till you know Zion's coming back. But, man, I think that's a fun long shot ticket to have in your account heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, the Suns, of course, your odds-on favorite to get it done in the Western Conference. That being said, we got to make sure that everyone is going to be healthy and going to be back for them. But, yes, the Suns are your favorite. Nuggets come in at about 353, anywhere from 350 to 390. Clippers at kind of that 450 to 500-ish range. You got the Mavericks at 7.5 to 1, something like that. Grizzlies about 7.5 to 1. Warriors sitting 8.5 to 1. To win the Western Conference. Over on the Eastern Conference side of things, Celtics are your odds-on favorite. Right behind, though, you're going to get the Bucks at about 2.5 to 1. Sixers kind of in that 4.5-ish to 5-ish to 1 range. I think that is the clear, clear upper tier, Kelly, whereas, like, yes, I guess we could try to make a case for the Cavs, maybe the Heat, but I think there is a clear upper tier that is going to be really hard to get past.
Yeah, I think you can draw a line underneath those first two teams and say it is about 90% chance that these two teams meet in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you can draw another line underneath the Cavs, and you can say, here's the only other two teams that I think have a chance.
We will actually see what Drew Densick thinks about this here on the other side, talking some NBA and some NFL with him.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99 American. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guest tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for all the biggest games of the season, where our experts are going to break down the brackets, our best bets, and the daily props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to take advantage of this offer that is only $9.99. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. You can find this man on NBC Sports Edge. You can find him on the Deep Dive podcast and on the Twitter machine at @whale_capper. He is Drew Densick. Drew, good to see you, my man. It's been a hot minute.
I has been. It's been way too long. You looking good? Great job, by the way, on all your Super Bowl coverage out in the desert. And what a week. That was a lot of fun. Good time out there.
It really was, man. It was a good time. It was interesting to me, some of the stuff that some of these guys were telling me that it played in these Super Bowls and it didn't matter what era and what generation that they played. And then the one thing that rang true, they were always like, it's the worst field I've played on every single year. It happened again this year. It's the craziest thing. Every single one of them told me that. They were like, the paint's too thick, or they overdo the this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 and all this. Because it's like they hyper-focus on this so much that it becomes a problem. And then sure enough, this ends up being one of the storylines of the Super Bowl.
And of course, the field, the refereeing, the commercial breaks, the length of the halftime show. It's like they go out of their way to make it a very, very unusual experience for the players. And the fact that we ended up with a very, very good game after all of that, I think, is just a testament to how good these two teams were. Turns out Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are a formidable opponent. Good to know that. Didn't know that going into the game. Wait a second. Of course we knew that going into the game. I don't understand why they weren't favorites still. My major takeaway is coming out of this one. Jalen Hurts was spectacular. I thought there was a realistic chance he was going to have limitations with his ability to push the ball downfield, given the shoulder injury he was carrying. I thought there was a chance that the moment was going to be quite overwhelming and you could get a little bit of big game jitters out of him. So the mental and the physical level that he showed up with on Sunday was unbelievable. And I think, the Eagles basically played a perfect game offensively outside of the fumble that resulted in 6 points for the Chiefs. And ultimately that was the difference, because these two teams were pretty evenly matched. And I think you just have to tip your hat and give credit to, just exactly how good Pat Mahomes is at this point in his career. And it's almost like the league has forced him to learn new ways to be deadly. They add a couple of weapons, they add a couple of wrinkles to their playbook in this offseason, and I completely agree and understand that they should be in the 15-20% win probability for the Super Bowl next year, which is that's rare air as you go back through the years, especially considering how many good quarterbacks are in the league now.
So I know you are big into the draft just like me, so I assume at this point, not very many markets up right now, but you're probably starting at least the beginning processes of your prep here, and then really get into earnest, in the next 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that?
Yeah, I think the most plus EV bets I'm going to end up making are going to be the week of the draft, but there's always a couple of really, really poor openers that you can catch in the month of March. I'm pretty excited. And this is one of the most fun top 10s, really most fun top 5s, because I think we all believe sincerely that we do not know the order that the teams are going to select in. And yes, that makes it fun. 1 through 7 could shuffle a couple of different ways, a couple of different times. I could see basically you have 1 and 3 with the Bears and the Cardinals as obvious sellers because they have their quarterbacks. And then you have 2, 4, and 7 as obvious buyers because they need quarterbacks. And then, teams like, the Lions and the Eagles could choose to take elite talent at their spots at 6 and 10, or they could, trade down, accumulate assets. That goes for the Seahawks too at 5, I guess. Although the only thing that I think people have kind of settled on is the Seahawks are going to take that one pass rusher who's the third best defender in the draft is sort of the only thing that everybody has kind of coalesced around at this point in this process. But figuring out what order the top 3 quarterbacks are going to go in and what teams are going to go to is the name of the game for the next month.
Well, let's head over to the NBA. There is one game that you're looking at tonight, 8:10 Eastern. We got the Jazz and the Grizzlies. As we sit right now, Grizzlies 8.5-point home favorites, a total of 240. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, so I think Grizzlies win this game by margin. In general, Utah has exceeded expectation now for the balance of the season, but in particular the last couple of games. We are now at the finish line with this final game for them before they get a break for the All-Star break. And I think this Grizzlies team, this is their last chance to put kind of an exclamation point on the early part of their season. This offense matches up extremely well against the Jazz defense. I think Grizzlies they're alive to get into the 130s here, the way that these two teams match up. No Steven Adams for the Grizzlies, so they are going to be a little bit vulnerable on defense. And, we'll get into that in a little bit, I think, as it relates to the Defensive Player of the Year market. But I still think they can score enough points that the Jazz basically come out of halftime with the 1-2-3 Cancun attitude. And this is a large margin of a game. Grizzlies in general have been a team that can win by margin all season. So don't mind laying the big number. number. My fare in this one is 10, and you can get 8.5 right now pretty much everywhere.
Let's go ahead and head to that Defensive Player of the Year market that you were talking about here. Jaren Jackson Jr. is your favorite, but you do have some guys that are at least lingering there. Lopez about 5-1, Bam Adebayo about 6-1, and Nick Claxton there about 7-1. How do you see this thing eventually playing out?
Yeah, this one is the most interesting handicap on the board because none of these prices feel right. And it's a tough award to really prognosticate because so much of it depends on team defense at the end of the regular season. And as we look at the current standings and the current rankings, yeah, the Grizzlies are near the top, but you're going to have Steven Adams missing for a decent portion of the season right now. A lot of Jaren Jackson's, a lot of JJJ's ability to kind of put himself in this conversation comes from the compilation of stats that he gets from blocks and steals, and so much of that is at the behest of Steven Adams doing such a good job of protecting the rim behind him, and now without him, I think you're going to see his specifically his stat line start to dry up a bit, and then in general the Grizzlies team defense start to drift, and if they fall out of the top five in terms of team defense because of a weak stretch here in the middle of the season, then I don't know that JJJ is the lock that the market would make him right now. Milwaukee's going to have a great defense when it comes in, by the time we get to the end of the season. It's very, very tough for me to see people putting Brooke Lopez's name down instead of Giannis. So why those two prices are relatively the way they are makes no sense to me. I think they should be flipped. Bam hasn't had a spectacular season, but he is anchored as one of the league's best defenders. And if the Heat end up as the team defense, then he's definitely got a shot. But right now, the team that stands alone at the top of the standings is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're not going anywhere. Their schedule is weak coming down the stretch. Like, that is probably going to be your number one team defense, and people are going to make a case for Evan Mobley, I think. And so if I could only make one bet in that market right now, I'm taking the big number on Evan Mobley.
If we look at the most improved player market, the one that's always most interesting, it's actually they should put in parentheses, like, most improved player who was already good and then takes his game to the next level and whatever and all. So, but there's three different guys that are short plus money right now, and SGA plus 120, Lauri Markkanen about 120 as well. We got Jalen Brunson sitting 4-1. I don't know if you have an opinion on this or not, but it's always an interesting market in my opinion.
Yes, I 100% agree, and I'm riding hard for Jalen Brunson here. He's got the New York Knicks, just the New York-centric bump on top of the fact that I don't know if you've seen him play lately, but his offensive output has exploded of late. And he's taken the most clear leap from good to great. As you look at the statistics, Lauri Markkanen, I shouldn't be throwing shade on Lauri. Lauri was literally kind of borderline irrelevant, a throwaway piece in a trade. And now he's an all-star. So that's pretty impressive. But I worry about his availability down the stretch. He's a candidate if the Jazz slide out of contention here because of, they got virtually nothing from Mike Conley and Malik Beasley. Like, this team is going to start to struggle. They could shut down Lauri and just basically keep him healthy for next season, and or keep him healthy for a trade in the offseason. And at that point, if he's not playing the final stretch of the season, people are going to forget about him. Similar kind of, risk with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the top of the fact that his best basketball was played in the fall and winter. Like, it's not going as well for him lately. So I think Brunson is the guy in that market that you want to circle. And 4-1 is still a bettable price, in my opinion.
You can find him over on NBC Sports Edge, of course. Go and subscribe to the Deep Dive podcast. You should do it. If you aren't already a subscriber, you should be a subscriber. Go smash that button and then follow him on the Twitter machine at @Whale_Capper. He is Drew Densick. Drew, thanks for the time, buddy.
Hey, best of luck, Matt. Great seeing you again.
Kelly, that was a great breakdown there. And again, he likes the guy that's 4-1. So if someone wants to get a ticket in their account, a guy that's 4-1, yeah, I think it's a pretty compelling case.
I think it could be a good bet. Brunson has been playing great here recently. I think I'm going to get run down in this market. I am heavily invested in SGA.
Okay. Well, hey, listen, it still could happen. We talked about the draft coming up and how much we love betting the NFL draft. Take an early look here on the other side.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbook, unleashed the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points, and you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and value perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up at BetMGM or log on today to get even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of older or old years of age or older to wager. New and existing customers. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Reward issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass. It is a numbers game here on VSiN on a Wednesday. And we kind of started at least a little bit of some of that draft discussion there with Drew Densick. And I know he is big into that. He will have a ton of content, especially over at his podcast. So be sure and check that out whenever you are getting into all of your draft stuff. But we'll have a lot here on VSiN as well. Draft has treated us very well the last couple of years. Hopefully we can keep that rolling as we head into the 2023 version of the draft. And I'm sitting here, and Kelly, we're just talking about, you know, look, it's starting to be silly season. All the mock drafts are going to start coming out, all the different things like that. And listen, this is my mini rant. I'm not going to go on a full rant, but here's my mini rant. If somebody has some sort of ridiculous looking number one overall pick or some sort of ridiculous string of things and all of that, just disregard that draft because they're not taking it seriously. They're trying to get headlines or trying to get clicks. And you do have to go in and find out who the mock drafters are that take this super seriously and are actually trying to be accurate as opposed to trying to get clicks over to their site. And so think about that when you're going through. And listen, typically when they're doing all these trade predictions inside the mock drafts and stuff like that, that also throws me off because then now you're just guessing. Like, it's just a guess. Oh, I guess this team's going to trade. Yeah, I guess this team's going to trade and all of that. And you can't really follow anything. This year being the exception that if someone wants to mock a trade for that number one overall pick, I'm at least down with that because we are about 95% sure that the Bears are going to move off of that pick. Now, when you look at some of these, I actually saw one come through my Twitter feed yesterday, Kelly, that said six mocked trades and whatever and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, come on. I'm done with you. You can't sit here and tell me that you're going to guess there's going to be six trades in the first round. So, but if I'm saying don't run from one if there is a mock to that number one overall pick because, again, I think we are all of the – I think we're all the same mindset here, Kelly, that it's going to be – it's going to go. You know, it's going to be out of there.
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up about the mocks. I always enjoy the one. It's like they trade pick 20 and 47 for pick 13. And I'm like, what are we doing
here? Best is like they'll have like a team X trades out of the second round back into the first round and whatever. And also like, what are you – you're like predicting teams like trading out of the second round. Like, it's like, no, that is not going to happen. But so what we do have here is like this Bears, like, you know, this pick's probably going to go. We do have the most likely scenarios in which they're going to go. I mean, listen, the Texans have the second and the 12th pick. The Colts have the fourth pick. The Raiders have the seventh pick and the Panthers have the ninth pick. Those are your most likely trade candidates with, of course, the most likely being the Texans, Colts, and Raiders there of teams that might try to move up and get that number one overall pick. I think there are some possible trade candidates because we don't really know what the Seahawks feel about the future of that team and whether they want to really roll with Geno Smith again. And they have the luxury of having two first-round picks as well. They have the fifth and the 20th. So that could get interesting if they decided to get a little froggy in all of this. The Titans have the 11th pick. The Jets have the 13th. And the Commanders are sitting there in the draft as well. It could be going after a quarterback. Now, they have the 16th pick. And so I'm sitting here looking at those teams. We know the Titans are going to probably be looking at a quarterback. The Jets, for sure, are looking after a quarterback. That said, they are likely to be in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, likely to be in the Derek Carr talk. So don't think it's as likely as them kind of trade up there. And then just some long shot stuff. The Lions have the 6th and the 18th. Anytime you have two first-round picks, you might can get creative. Yeah, you might can do some things if you decide that you really want to do some sort of franchise-altering move and all the things like that. They do have two picks, so they have a luxury of trying that. I think the Falcons are fine with Desmond Ridder moving forward, but they do hold that 8th pick, and maybe, you know, who knows, maybe they decide to do something. But most likely going to be the Texans, Colts, Raiders, or Panthers that do that. And so with that, Kelly, we're basically looking at, you know, a first round that is going to go number one overall, most likely number two overall, and most likely number three, because I think the Cardinals probably move out as well. It might go quarterback, 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 depending on how aggressive people go.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I got a couple questions for you. The Seahawks one. The more I think about it, the more I think they're going to be more aggressive with the quarterback in the drafting a quarterback than I would have originally thought. I don't know how we can live in a world where the Seahawks look at Geno Smith as really a long-term solution and the Raiders don't view Derek Carr as one, right? Like if you want to tell me, look, the Raiders are moving on from Derek Carr because they think this is as good as they're ever going to get from this kind of player and they have to get better than this, I can get on board with that game plan. Look, if you're always trying to improve. But I don't know that it's the Seahawks' rationale is, well, Geno was a lot better than we thought he was going to be last year. Let's roll that back.
But is that the long-term solution, like you're saying? And and the other thing, the reason I put them as just as a possible candidate here is because how often are you going to have two picks to work with?
Right,
And so that you can really try to work something out that still is beneficial to you where you're going to, you know, pick up a couple of seconds to get rid of the – I think that it's a non-zero chance that they could be meeting at some point and say, like, guys, we understand what it's like to have a franchise quarterback, and we understand that all you have to do – I think all these teams – the Colts should save some of these teams so much grief. Seeing what the Colts went through over the last three seasons of trying to do this whole transform a retread into your franchise quarterback thing and having that fail over and over and over again, it seems like, guys, look, you have Mahomes that, you know, yes, he got extended and all that or whatever, like Chiefs had a ridiculous amount of success with him on his rookie deal. You have Hurts on his rookie deal. You see what the Eagles are doing and all those things right now. Like, we're not saying that the Seahawks are going to draft one of these guys and be instant competitors, but, like, you might could build a team up to where you have your quarterback on a rookie deal in his third year of the deal, and now you're really making some progress here. So I think there's a non-zero chance that they might at least think about doing something.
Okay, give me your percentage, the percentage chance that the Bears stay at one.
Sub 3%.
Okay.
Like sub 3%. Because you have too many quarterback needy. Like, they are going to get offers from, like, I mean, they're at least going to hear from the majority of those teams.
Right,
now,
yeah,
like, now,
yeah,
whether the packages are good enough at all, you know, like, varying offers for sure. But
yeah,
I mean,
whether you disagree with how we feel about the Seahawks will be making a proposal.
Right, they'll at least make a call and see what they might can get away with. You know, that's not saying that anything's actually going to get done. But, I mean, they're going to at least see if the Bears are interested in anything that they've got going on here. So we do have first quarterback drafted odds, and so we do have that out. And I made a quick list of just some guys that I respect, some sites that I respect, as to kind of how their early mocks and or their power rankings look right now. Bryce Young is the odds-on favorite at minus 175, C.J. Stroud at 2-1, and then Will Levis is sitting at plus 450 to go number one overall. And the first quarterback taken, I should say, in the NFL draft. And so the first quarterback taken in PFS, Michael Renner. We've had him on several different shows here on the network. He has Bryce Young. Dane Brugler's big board has Bryce Young ahead of all the other quarterbacks. Walter Football, who has some really good mock drafts over there, they actually do have C.J. Stroud going as the first quarterback taken in the draft. Daniel Jeremiah, his version one of his mock draft had Bryce Young going number one. Matt Miller from ESPN had Bryce Young going number one. 33rdteam.com. It's a new website, by the way, out there if you want to take a look at that one. It's got some really good stuff on it. Has Bryce Young going number one. Football Outsiders also has Bryce Young going number one. And then I only threw this one on here so that next time you guys have him on, you can rag him. Pete Futak, our good buddy Pete Futak, has Will Levis going as the first quarterback
Billy
taken.
Billy Levis, love it. I hope it gets home, yeah, Pete.
Has Will Levis going. I wanted to throw that one in there so you guys can rack it and be like, all these other guys, you're the only one that thinks Will Levis is going to be the first quarterback.
I hope he's right. I hope he's right.
Oh, listen, trust me. I really hope he's right, as you and I have those long shot tickets on Will Levis. Look, we put ourselves in a pretty good situation here with those Levis tickets because we will be able to make money on this market some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Now, it might have to lay a little bit more than we want to or whatever, but it's going to likely come down to young Stroud Levis. We're going to get some smoke. Smoke likely is going to turn into fire, and we're going to be able to make some money on that for
sure. How much does this market shift at or does it not at all come the combine workouts, everything, when we keep hearing about how small Bryce Young is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to change all that much because I still think all the mocks, the majority, I should say, of the mocks are all going to have him going as the first quarterback taken in the draft, if not going number one overall via some sort of trade with the Chicago Bears. So feeling pretty good about where we sit right now, but certainly we need that pick to get traded so we know who's going at it. Hour number two, coming back with Will Hill.